This is WBAI, New York.
Serving the community since 1960.
How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom? It's all I ever had. Redemption song, all I ever had. Redemption song, these songs of freedom. Songs of freedom.
Break her heart. She didn't let him see her fall. need to come home. This is it, I think he's dying. She laid the phone down by his head. Last words that he said, cowgirl, don't cry. Ride, baby, ride. Lessons of life, sure, it's all in time. Too soon, gotta let you know why. If you fall, get right back home. The good Lord calls everybody home. Cowgirl, don't cry.
Out with the old, in with the new. Country hit from Nashville to New York, Country 99.5, where you're in the middle of a 10,000 song marathon. Keith Urban, Country 99.5. Free on the new Country 99.5. New York City just got a little southern.
He's
said the way my blue eyes shine put those Georgia stars to shame that night. They said that's a lie. Just a boy in a Chevy truck that had a tendency of getting stuck on back roads at night, and I was right there beside him all summer long. And then the time we woke up to find that summer gone. But when you think chemical, I hope you think my favorite song, one we dance to all night long. The moon like a spotlight on the lake. When you think happiness, I hope you think that little black dress. Think of my head on your chest and my old faded blue jeans. When you think chemical, I hope you think of me. September saw a month of tears and thanking God that you weren't here to see me like that. But in a box beneath my bed is a letter that you never read from 3 summers back. It's hard not to find it all. When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think my favorite song. The day you'll turn your radio on, I hope it takes you back to that place. When you think happiness, I hope you think that little black dress. Think of my head on your chest and my old faded blue jeans. When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think of me. Those Georgia stars to shame that night. I said that's a lie.
Bringing the heartland to the heart of New York City. Country music is back on the air in New York City on Country 99.5. We rounded up 10,000 country hits and we're playing them all in a row commercial free.
Girl born in Dixie, washed in the blood and raised on the banks of the Mississippi mud. She always had a thing about falling in love with a bad boy. Yeah, they could see it all coming, but her daddy never dreams he'd grow up that fast. You know what I mean, the way a girl gets when she turns 17. Kind of crazy. Rebel child and a preacher's daughter, she was baptized in dirty water. said, I'll be sure and phone you. She called her from a truck stop in Tucson, Arizona, with Amazing Grace. We made California live. And then my gypsy life started taking its toll, and the fast lane got empty and out of control. And just like an angel, she saved my soul from the devil. You see this rebel child and a preacher's daughter, she was baptized in dirty water. Mama cried the first time they caught her with me. Then they couldn't stop her. She holds tight me and the Bible on the back seat of my motorcycle. Left her daddy standing there preaching to the choir, you see. God love her.
Country hits commercial free on the new Country 99.5.
All right. Hit that button. We get your attention? Good. We're back. Yes, folks, it was all a big joke. We're back here with our normal program here on the radio station. Thanks, for those of you playing along, it was great fun, that little trip. But now, Off the Hook must continue on the air, as we usually do. And welcome, Mike.
Hi.
Welcome, Red Hack.
Hello.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
And Bernie S. down in Philadelphia.
Yeah, just looking at the SS United States, still docked in Philadelphia Harbor here.
Well, that's what's down there. Now, since we lost a bit of time to that little joke, let's pick right up where we left off. I want to talk about what the Knicks did wrong yesterday. They really blew it, losing to the Nuggets by 111 to 104. Bernie, is there any hope for this team?
Yeah, maybe next year. Maybe in the NBA draft, and maybe when LeBron James becomes a free agent the year after.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, how many times are we going to hear the same thing? It's ridiculous. Year after year, they just keep letting us down. Do I have to start becoming a Net fan?
They're not doing much better.
I know.
In fact, they're going to be playing the Pistons in about 20 minutes or so. And they're only, I think, like game ahead of the Knicks, about five out of the playoff spot, and mm-hmm. doesn't look very likely for them either.
No.
They got some young guys. They got a little bit of a future there, but we're not going to be seeing much playoff basketball in New York this year.
Now, Eddie Curry, of course, having that injury in his left knee last night, that's the excuse they're giving now. I don't know. You know, I like to hold on to a bit of faith, but sometimes it just seems to be, a lost cause. But, you know, thank God we've got baseball coming up, and opening day was just about a week away now.
Yep.
Now, Bernie, I understand you actually were at Citi Field. Tell us
yeah.
what Citi Field was like.
I visited there for the college baseball game they had between St. John's and Georgetown
uh-huh.
last weekend. And basically a dry run for the facility. They wanted to make sure that all the concessions were working and the lights went on and the toilets didn't back up and things like that. I mean, it is like Corona after all, and that was an old trademark of Shea. But everything seemed to work okay. The only trouble is it looks too much like our place, back at Citizens Bank in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure there are going to be a lot of Philly fans who are going to be making the trek when they play each other head-to-head, and they're going to constantly rank the Mets for that.
Yeah, well, Bernie, you've never ceased to drill into my head that Philly, they're the world champions, and they won. But, you know, how long did it take you guys to actually win a world championship? You know, it took
28 years.
How long?
28 years.
You let the record show that he said 28 years. Okay, and before that, how long was it?
Never.
Yeah, exactly.
Had never happened before.
So, you know, and of course the Philadelphia Athletics, they actually did much better before they moved to Kansas City and then Oakland.
Yeah, well, that was 1931, last time they were in the
I know, but you got to sort of look back in history when you're down there in Philly. But, you know, all kidding aside, congratulations to the people in Philly for this fluke, for the one-time winning of the championship. But on the subject of Citi Field, do you see the article in the Times today about the cheap seats at the new Yankee Stadium and at Citi Field? They actually have obstructed view seats. You pay your money for a ticket, and you can't even see the field. The article goes, there's a reason baseball fans call them cheap seats, those purchased far from home plate in the outfield, the upper decks, down the lines, often with obscure views of the game. The Mets and Yankees together have spent more than $2 billion on new stadiums, partly to bring fans much closer to the action. Actually, I think we've spent a lot of that money, too. But the best views, fans have to pay huge prices to sit on the field level. Fans on tighter budgets have to settle for seats in far-off sections, but they actually have obstructed views of the field. Mets fans learned this the hard way on Sunday when St. John's and Georgetown played the first game at Citi Field. One fan's shock and horror, he could not see the warning track or about 20 feet of the outfield from the left field line to center field. In other words, he said, I only know if a home run is hit if I'm listening to a radio at the game or I wait to see the sign from the umpire. Rob T. Firefly, what do you make of this?
Yeah, there's no excuse for this sort of thing nowadays. If you're going to build a stadium with today's technology, I mean, they had 3D models, they had everything, they could have caught this and done
Absolutely.
Something about it ahead of time. Plus, on the subject of the new Citi Field, I don't know. You guys know me, lifelong Met fan, but I grew up going to Shea Stadium, and okay, the place was a bit of a dump, but it was our dump, and I think it's going to take a long time, if ever, for the new place to grow on me.
Yeah, well, no, I was razzing Bernie a little bit about Philly, but come on, I mean, I'm as much a Met fan as anybody, but last 2 years in a row, man, it's just a heartbreak. It really is. Bernie, do you think this is the year for the Mets? And I know I've asked you this every single year we've been on the air, but
has something to say about it, no.
Right.
We've had a couple of injuries early on, so we may have some problems with our pitching early on, but I think we're going to be right there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Mets are concerned, yes, they're better. There's no question about it. But, you know, so are we. You know, we have a little bit more playoff experience as well, and I don't see the Mets catching up with the Phillies. But on the other hand, you know, they do have a nice place. As far as the obstructive views are concerned, both of them were architectural mistakes. And Emmanuel, you come from Stony Brook, so you know what it's like when it comes to architectural mistakes.
Yes, I certainly do. And I also know what it's like when it comes to mudslides and leaks and concrete and things like that.
Yeah, at least they got rid of those. We haven't had one of those yet over in Queens. So,
all right.
And Philly, it's never been a problem.
Let's talk about the Yankees a little bit. Now, they have a new stadium as well. Apparently there are more obstructed views at Yankee Stadium, new Yankee Stadium, than anything else. By the way, it's very weird driving by there and seeing two Yankee stadiums. They're both labeled Yankee Stadium. But the only good thing I can say about the Yankees is that they haven't, given it out to some corporation, for the naming rights. So we have, you know, still the name of the team outside the stadium, which is the way I think it should be. I'm a traditionalist, though. But Bernie, what do you think of the chances of the Yankees this year? Do you think that the Steinbrenner brothers will pull it together?
I think the chances are very, very good because they've improved a lot of the problems they had. The pitching is definitely a lot better. And yes, Alex Rodriguez is going to be out half the year, but some people think that's addition by subtraction.
No, but not half. He's coming back on May 15th. So,
well, okay, I'll believe it when I see it.
That's what they say anyway. But you know, they don't tell you about all the other things that might happen along the way. It's a roller coaster ride. We all know that. But
yeah. But you know what? It's okay. It's a long season, and I think they'll be able to survive without him for about a month and a half, whatever it's going
to
take.
You think they'll be able to outpace Baltimore and Boston this year?
Well, Baltimore, forget it. Baltimore is not. It's still a work in progress. The real problem is going to be coming from Tampa Bay and Boston. And possibly Toronto, if they can stay healthy, because their top three pitchers are as good as anybody's. But the Yankees will definitely be there. Now, the question is, how are the fans going to like the new park? I actually did stop by there yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And it is big and imposing and intimidating, and it's everything it's expected to be. I mean, you know, Citi Field's a ballpark, Citizens Bank's a ballpark, Yankee Stadium is a monstrosity, but on the other hand, you know, this is a franchise that thrives on being a monster.
And they're going to keep the old one up as a backup in case the new one breaks? Is that the deal?
Well, actually, they did keep the old one up until now as a possible backup because the construction was a bit behind schedule when last season ended. But it's going to be ready, and they're going to start knocking down the old place probably about a month or so.
Okay. We're going to take listener phone calls, of course, on about the prospects of the Mets and the Yankees, see who you like better this year, who actually might stand a chance to make the playoffs if either of our teams can make it this year. But Red Hack and Mike, you've got some updates on Formula One.
Yeah. As our regular listeners know, during the radio show, we usually give some time to some more obscure sports that you don't usually hear about in the U.S., and I just want to discuss quickly, last weekend was the opening for the 2009 Formula One season.
Right.
That was the Australian Grand Prix that was in Melbourne. That race actually was the debut of the Braun Mercedes constructor, which consisted of Jenson Button and Rubens Barrichello.
And what a debut.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing because it ended in a win for that team with the two drivers coming in first and second.
I heard about this.
Yeah, Button came in first and Barrichello second. Button actually led the entire race from turn one and kept his lead the entire 58 laps. And actually, during a post-game press brief, he commented about how easy he had felt that the race was. The conditions on race day were similar to what was seen on Friday and Saturday.
Right.
Air temperature was 25 Celsius. There were clear skies throughout the entire race.
Uh-huh. This was where?
This was in Melbourne.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really nice out there.
Yeah.
There were some problems with some of the cars. There was some damage. During turn one, there was actually kind of a big accident. But otherwise, you know.
But that's what the fans love. They love to see the pileups.
What about that finish? It was kind of amazing with the safety car finish, only the second time it's ever happened. But Braun did take it.
It's still in the air a bit, though, because actually the Braun, Toyota, and Williams cars, some of the other contenders have made a protest against them that the diffusers on those cars were illegal.
Right.
And the stewards during the race threw it out, but we're going to have to wait and see after the Malaysian Grand Prix to see what the outcome is, because they're actually going to – there's an appeal in the works right now. So.
Well, it's.
I think it's pretty clear how it's going to go, though. That these diffusers, they really studied the rules, Braun.
Yeah.
And I think these diffusers, they're going to allow them to keep them, and it's going to really help make Braun just the team to watch this season. It's a brand new team. They have kind of less resources than some of the other teams, but I think they're really able to take it, and they're really. I think they are the ones to beat, of course. Malaysia coming up this weekend with that crazy tight turn, the crazy long straightaways.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the one thing that'll be interesting, it's going to rain this weekend, they say, in Malaysia, and that will destroy some of the advantage that Braun has been having.
I've been in Malaysia when it rains, and boy, that's something you don't want to experience.
Yeah, and you don't want to be driving at these speeds.
Oh, no.
I mean. But they're so it's going to destroy the advantage that they've had with the tires.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're still, you know, maybe they won't finish first and second every weekend this year. But I think they're definitely ones to beat.
Yes, Rob.
Yeah, I think Braun and company and their diffusers. I think the other ones are just upset that they didn't come up with it first. I mean, there's still room for innovation in the sport, and it took them to prove that.
And that is the thing. The other teams have more money to make these changes mid-season. Braun may be just sort of stuck with what they've got so far, but what they've got so far is definitely working.
Well, I'm personally holding out for the Finns. I want Raikkonen to take it with Ferrari. He won the Malaysian Grand Prix last year. He won the entire Cup in 2007, so, you know, I'm holding out for him.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Aerodynamic advances are always going to give teams an edge in Formula One, and whoever's first is for... with that is usually first on race day.
Yeah,
you got something there. Now, Red Hag, I just wanted to point this out just because I'm a troublemaker, but you mentioned how obviously you're pushing for the Finns.
Yeah.
I just figured I'd use this as a transition over to World Cup results today, World Cup qualifying results, that you'll be thrilled to know that Estonia defeated Armenia 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, of course, they're bitter rivals with Finland. But a lot of other results today, actually in that very hotly contested game in Seoul, South Korea, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, North Korea, went down to defeat 1-0 to South Korea. So that was very interesting. A battle of the two Koreas. And interesting point, too, that it was played in Seoul. The game that was supposed to be played in Pyongyang in North Korea had to be played in Shanghai because the North Koreans would not allow the South Koreans to play the national anthem in their country.
But both teams are doing really well. Both Koreas are doing really well. They're leading their group. And it will be really interesting if they both make it to the World Cup to see them play there.
Well, North Korea has to worry about Saudi Arabia. Libya, because they both have 10 points. They're both tied, and they have to see if they can catch up to South Korea and become the top two in that particular division.
And listen, don't forget big news. Mm-hmm. Finland beat Wales last weekend 2-0.
Could beat Wales. No. Well, it's and San Marino. You see what happened to San Marino today? 10-0. Oh, it was embarrassing. They lost to Poland. That is something else. You are listening to Off the Hook, where we talk about sports every week. And talk about sports every week. I just had another one of those flashes. Wow, the brilliant white light. Okay, the first one I understood, the second one I didn't understand so much. Whoa. Okay. That was weird. I just, a little bit disoriented here. You are listening to Off the Hook, the program that talks about various things every week. Let me introduce the people that are here this week. We have Mike.
Hi.
Red Hack.
Hello.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Voltaire.
Hey there.
And Bernie S. down in Philadelphia.
Still here in Philly, but feeling a little dizzy, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
I didn't even understand what we were just talking about.
I don't really remember what we were just talking about, but I do know that, look at the time. We seem to be losing time somehow, and we need to fix that and move forward. Okay, so we have a bunch of stories. I'm sorry, folks. We're a little bit disoriented today. I don't know. I might have had something to drink before I got here. It's something I shouldn't have. It's possible. No, it's coffee. It wasn't anything bad. Okay, but we have, and we'll be taking phone calls too, 212-209-2900. The program is Off the Hook. Here are some interesting bits of news that you might not have heard of online. Maybe you have heard about it online. You guys have heard about this, about the United States General Services Administration. You've heard about those wonderful bureaucrats down there. Well, they're soon not even going to be known as the GSA anymore. And you know why?
I did hear about this.
Yeah, because of this thing called Acronym Day. Now, I don't know how many people remember Phone Day over in the UK. Well, let me just read the story. The GSA, General Services Administration, they happen to be the government agency in charge of transitioning all of those three-letter acronyms to the new four-letter standard. Now, Acronym Day, which is set to take effect in just under 11 months, was modeled after Britain's Phone Day of 1995. And that, if you recall, the number one was added to all the nation's city codes. And what that did was that freed up a whole lot of phone numbers. So they were able to, that's what we should have done in this country, simply add a digit and we wouldn't have had to split all the area codes. Now, in similar style, Acronym Day is expected to dramatically increase the potential number of government agencies from the current limit of 17,576 to 456,976. Now, without such a change, the government would have run out of acronyms entirely within 2 years. Now, the way the system will work is fairly simple. In fact, what I'm going to do is here's a list of existing acronyms. Maybe you guys can figure out what some of them are going to be called. It's a huge list. Government.
No wonder we ran out.
24 pages.
Well, yeah, but that's micro print sized. All existing three-letter acronyms are just going to have the letter A inserted at the beginning. It's pretty simple. So basically, what's going to happen in just under 11 months, the FBI will become known as the AFBI. They're saying the nickname will be AFB, which actually makes sense. AFB, we'll call it the AFB, being raided by the AFB or whatever. The Selective Service System, known as SSS, will now become ASSS. The CDC will become the ACDC. As new agencies are formed, other letters will be used. So while the CIA may currently be limited to only one acronym, after next year, the potential exists for them to have as many as 26. So you could have something like the CCIA, which could be used for the clandestine CIA, which we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. The ex-CIA, for instance, could be used for ex-agents who never really leave the agency.
I think this is a huge mistake that they're making here, because if they allow every agency to have 26 acronyms, then they really haven't solved the problem.
They need to
be more strict.
They can use those letters, but other agencies can step in and use the letters too.
I see. So if the CIA doesn't have a use for GCIA, someone else can get it.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So let's see, let me hear this. Spokesman for the GSA, which I guess we know as the AGSA, AGSA, that's what they'll be known as, cautions that while nearly 500,000 potential acronyms sounds like a lot, it will still be necessary to conserve wherever possible. For one thing, there are already some existing four-letter acronyms like NASA, and that'll bring down the total amount of new acronyms. Regardless, it should be enough to last for at least another decade. And this is an interesting side note to the story that I also happen to read. A number of committees, as we probably know from reading these stories over the years, they've been created over the years to assess the various options for providing additional acronym resources and to make recommendations on the best approach to be taken. And to underline the seriousness of the situation, not one of those committees made use of any acronyms. So they basically put their money where their mouths were. They didn't use the acronyms.
You know, it's interesting, though, because we see this kind of thing happening in a lot of places. You mentioned the British Phone Day, where they were running out of phone numbers.
Yes.
We're having the same thing happen with IP addresses, right? You know, there's a big concern about what happens if we run out of IP version 4 IP addresses, which is why there's IP version 6 to step in, although nobody's really adopted it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's good to see that at least the government's ahead of the game on this one and that they're kind of taking steps before it's too late.
Absolutely. Okay, and this interesting story, too. I believe, Walter, you found this one. TSA, or I guess it'll be known as the ATSA pretty soon. ATSA. Yeah, I could live with that. In a move that began over 8 years ago, just after 9/11, acting commissioner of the FCC, soon to be known as the AFCC. It's very easy to figure out now, in the early stages.
But once you have more agencies.
Yeah.
Then
it'll get a little hairy, but I think if we train ourselves, 500,000 acronyms is not that much.
We already know NASA, so, and that's a four-letter acronym.
Well, NASA already. See, we all know NASA. See how easy it is? All right. Anyway, AFC, I might as well start saying it now. AFCC Commissioner Michael Copps, acting commissioner, announced that the commission's new policy on public broadcasting language use will ban more words that can be construed as dangerous to domestic security. So we all know the seven dirty words we can't say. We're not going to say them on the air. But there they are, posted on the wall. We can't say those words. But there are going to be more words we can say now. We can say them now, but we won't be able to say them.
You checked with the lawyers, because we have to be really careful.
Well, it doesn't go into effect until September 1st, I believe.
Yeah, September 1st of this year is when.
And there's no, it's just so we can say it up till September 1st.
I specifically asked if we could say these
all
words.
All right, all right.
And they said, yeah.
Okay.
Just like that, they said, yeah. Okay, as was the case with the AFCC's former seven dirty words policy, the new policy specifically bans seven more words, while leaving open room for judges' discretion by also banning, quote-unquote, measured by contemporary community safety standards for the broadcast medium, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, now the list, like Voltaire said, set to go into effect on September 1st, includes words such as... Ready?
Yeah.
All right. I don't want anybody to be offended. So if you're cautious, overly cautious, or easily offended, maybe you want to turn down the radio. But these are the words that you won't be able to say after September 1st on the radio. Bomb. Terrorist. Nail clipper. Al-Qaeda. Liquid. Hijack. Anthrax and shoes. I'm a little confused here because that's eight. So one of these, maybe they just added shoes. Interesting. And now I know. Yeah, some people think this is ridiculous. It is in a way, but it also I could sort of understand the logic. And Mr. Copps was asked about this. He said the logic is very simple. A TSA agent, so he doesn't have it yet. He didn't get it yet. It's actually an ATSA agent. ATSA. He said TSA because this was done before people started being trained. An agent might be listening to the radio, and our nation's finest deserve to be treated by the radio with the same respect they get from passengers. And that makes sense, because imagine that you're going through being checked for whatever it is that you might be carrying onto an airplane, and all of a sudden you hear the word bomb and terrorist and Al-Qaeda coming from the portable radio sitting next to the guy that's checking you out. How is that any different from making a joke about a bomb in an airport, Mike?
I have to disagree. I think it's totally different.
Really?
First of all, I think you should be able to allow to say things in airports. But, I mean, what if we need to report on the actions of Al-Qaeda? Will we have to invent a code word for Al-Qaeda, and will that then become banned? I mean, it's very dangerous ground that they're heading down.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we should make a point of it between now and September 1st to use those words in every show that we
do. Well, we can do that. No, I mean...
If we can do it, I say we do it.
Well,
I think it's ridiculous.
The lawyers said, yeah, we can do it. They said that.
Well, I know.
But the thing is, after September 1st, we're going to face, $325,000 fines if we say that. Now, you know, basically, Mike, there are people who agree with you. The ACLU, in fact, called the plan so arbitrary,
I mean,
draconian.
I can't say shoes
and
on
this,
the air?
Because shoes can have things in them. I mean,
did any of you ever Richard Reed?
Yeah, we're at war. I mean, this is a, you know, it's a post 9/11 world. Yes, Rob.
But where does this leave the band Anthrax? Can we not play their music on the radio anymore?
Well, we can play the music. You just can't say the words.
So we'll have to obliquely refer to them.
I don't. Is this so hard to understand? It just seems. I don't know. It seems pretty clear to me.
A bit unfair to them.
So we'll turn them into Prince, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, we lost so much time before, so we need to move on. This is an interesting story too. We talked a lot about digital television, the transition to digital television. We have not talked as much about digital radio, even though it has been in the media quite a bit. Digital TV transition progressed with many false starts. It's now scheduled for June 12th at last count. Who knows what's going to happen after that? The rapidly approaching digital radio transition is receiving scant media coverage. Relatively unpublicized is the fact that July 4th, 2009 is the scheduled cutover date for digital radio in the United States. That may come as a real surprise to millions of FM radio listeners. And I know people are listening to us on FM now, so they ought to pay close attention to this story. AM radio, by the way, anybody who still listens to that, is scheduled for mandatory digital cutover December 31st, 2009. Congress has set both of these dates as a hard date without any time extensions, as there were for the digital TV transition. Now, FM radio listeners will have to purchase either a new high-definition radio or high-definition radio converter box by July 4th. The converter, which cost about $50, you've gotten yours, I hope, Red Hat. You look like you might be a little worried about this, but you know,
I actually have an HD radio. I didn't, you know, my last purchase, I just picked up an HD radio.
You can almost see the high definition when you listen to the radio.
Well,
in fact, we have a demonstration, but I want to finish the story first. The converter cost about $50. It connects between your radio and antenna in your home or car. Pretty simple, but because the converter is powered separately. Portable radio owners have little option but to buy a new portable high-definition radio. And those people at TSA or ATSA listening to the portable radio, they're going to have to put a little box there and power that separately.
Well, they're right.
Or they have to get a new radio entirely, and they're available for less than $200.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing for my home radio, no problem. But but I have a radio in my cell phone. I don't know how I'm supposed to replace that without replacing my whole cell phone.
Well, there's a website. You can go to the website. And this is we've talked about this before, and I don't want to spend too much time on it because I really think that we're overblowing the concern as far as what the worry is going to be. Now, Consumers Union says this mandatory digital radio transition is a shameful example of corporate special interest lobbying by the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, and some of its members. Again, I disagree because I've heard the difference. In fact, let's play the demo of what it sounds like, what the difference will be. When the cutover takes place. Now, those of you who actually have already installed the boxes, as you should have by now, because there's been enough warning about that, you'll hear what, I guess, an enhanced version of the show. You'll hear us. It'll sound like we're right next to you. It'll sound like we're surrounding you with our words.
It's actually
our words.
Really cool.
It's so cool. It's so cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk for about, 30 seconds or so. Yeah. In the enhanced version. Now, those of you who have not gotten the enhanced version, you'll hear, it might not sound as good, but you should still be able to understand everything that we're saying. So, hang on, let me just throw a switch over there. Okay, so next thing you'll hear will be us talking through the digital converter for the new high-definition radio becoming mandatory July 4th, 2009. Here we go.
Thank you.
clear as a bell. And that's basically, if you have done the conversion, you should have no trouble understanding it.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So I'm looking forward to that quite a bit.
How's it going to work out for our internet listeners?
There's a hole in the box they have to get. Hole in the box. Yes, Rob, we've got to move on. So.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, though. It was kind of like a Mr. Watson, come here, I want your moment.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That really sounded good. Okay, more changes in the works. This is from the Associated Press. They're calling this a surprise move. I wasn't that surprised because I saw this coming for a while.
Yeah.
The Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, known as ICANN, voted to retire the .gov generic top-level domain, known as GTLD, and place all respective U.S. government addresses under the country code top-level domain, known as CCTLD, of .us. Now, that basically means that .gov sites will, when does this actually take effect?
It has to happen by March 27th.
March 27th of next year. Okay, and instead of .gov, the sites are going to be known as .go.us. And basically what they say is international pressure led to the vote. ICANN stands by the result. A spokesperson, Dan Walsh, for the federal government, held a press conference saying the situation is not ideal given that ICANN has international control over domain name assignment. We will, however, file an appeal. The White House was quick to acknowledge ICANN's decision, and as of Monday morning, the White House website was accessible via both whitehouse.gov and whitehouse.go.us. And that's the other thing. I've seen some posts about this, how they're going to make this into a patriotic thing and say that .gov websites are now accessible by typing .go.us.
Yeah.
And so it's a kind of a patriotic call to arms.
Yeah.
Go U.S. I like it.
I think the really interesting thing about this is it's despite the government's objections, you know, they're actually allowing ICANN to have a free hand. Historically, they've exercised really tight control over ICANN. And as much as I don't like ICANN, I'm glad to see that they're able to take a stand in this way.
What do you have against ICANN?
Well, you know, this is a long time issue within ICANN. They've been debating this for a while. And, you know, like you said, we saw this coming, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
I guess the government is going to just take it in stride. Or, well, they're filing an appeal, but. If mm-hmm. it doesn't work out.
I really don't think any of us truly believes that the government like really wants to go through with this whole appeal thing. It's like they know that's BS. They wanted this whole go US thing the entire time. It's just a half-hearted appeal.
Bernie, any thoughts from you?
Well, it's really the right thing to do, Emmanuel. The United States government is not the only government in the world, so it's unfair for the US to have a monopoly on the .gov domain name. So now it can be .go.us and go.ca for Canada and so forth. It's sort of an enthusiastic thing, like go US.
It's a lot more fair. There's no question about that. Okay, and we have this other item too, which we just got only a few minutes ago. As some of us may know, today is April 1st. And it's a day that the how do you pronounce that, Mike? You know?
I don't know.
Yeah,
let's just say it's
Conficker. I think that's what he's supposed to say. It could be Conficker, but I'm going to say Conficker. The Conficker worm hit computers around the world today, and we've been hearing the reports all day long. Now, for those who don't know, researchers have been predicting all kinds of chaos similar to that predicted prior to Y2K. In that case, most of the doom and gloom scenarios proved to be unfounded, but as news reports all day have indicated, chaos is a mild term for what has been happening. The reports so far have been pretty staggering. At Atlanta's Hartsfield International Airport, television monitors and terminals that normally broadcast the CNN feed inexplicably aired a repeating loop of a 1987 Rick Astley music video. Air traffic controllers in Paris were forced to shut operations down and purge machines running the Windows operating system in order to stop an audio broadcast from an unknown source that simply said, "All your base are belong to us every 30 seconds." The phrase is well known in the hacker world to indicate victory over an opponent. You know, this is, again, CNN is getting this wrong. It's not what the phrase means, but we're not going to get into that right now. The airline industry was far from alone in feeling the effects of Conficker. A television station in Paducah, Kentucky, had a popular daytime talk show overridden with images of, according to a spokesman, donkey pornography. Yeah. Chicago's mass transit system was unable to collect fares for most of the day, allowing passengers to ride for free, something the Chicago Transit Authority did not find very amusing. Now, Conficker.c is a malicious program written in the C language that is estimated to hit over 50 million computers running the Windows operating system. C is a very popular language for hackers. Again, I take issue with that, but we'll write CNN later. Only authorized copies of Windows appear to be vulnerable to this particular worm that's spreading around. Pirated versions so far have escaped any adverse effects, which possibly explains why so few computers in China appear to have been infected. And Microsoft is offering a $250,000 reward for anyone claiming to be the author of the worm. So interesting turn of events today. Conficker is loose and causing all kinds of problems. Are we surprised by this?
I mean, it really hasn't affected, I think most of us here aren't Windows users, so I can't really speak from personal.
You know, it was actually really cleverly written, and the later versions of it have been revised. So actually, the commands that they receive have to be signed with a digital key. That way that people, you know, who are trying to basically shut down the spread of the worm can't send them messages telling them to just stop.
Yeah.
It was really well written.
I would say one thing.
I'm sorry.
About this, that was the article you read was from CNN.
Yeah, it was.
And apparently they've never heard of Rickrolling. Otherwise, the whole Rick Astley thing would be a lot clearer to them.
Rickrolling. It's a bizarre phrase. In fact, a lot of this has been kind of weird. I'm looking over these stories that we've been reading, and I don't know if we really have been looking. Oh crap! It's happening again. You know, every time that happens, I get more and more dizzy, and we wind up in some bizarre place, and I don't know where we are, what we're talking about. Here we all are again, and look at this. We only have a couple of minutes left. All right, here we are. It's Off the Hook. I want to welcome people. Mike.
Hi there.
Red Hacked.
Hello.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Voltaire.
Hey there.
Bernie down in Philadelphia.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
Not Kevin.
Hello.
Dot Rhett.
Hello.
And Gus.
Oh, hi.
How you doing? I'm sorry, you know, I seem to have lost track of time, but we were going to take phone calls, and I think we should do that, right? I wanted to do that.
Taking phone calls from the top of the program?
Well, we only seem to have a few minutes left. I don't know what's been going on, and Bernie seems to be all, like, out of breath there, so we should take some kind of listener feedback to what's been going on. I just feel a little bit out of it, that's all. I'm sorry.
My head hurts.
Yeah, you're feeling the same thing. Because every time, is my nose bleeding? Every time there's a flash, I really feel this extreme headache, and like I almost don't make it each time.
I mean, you look okay, but maybe we should finish up so you can get some rest.
Yeah, I'd like that a lot. This has been very stressful. I'm not quite sure why. All right, our phone number, 212-209-2900. Yeah, okay. Let's take a phone call. Pick a line, Mike. My fingers are shaking.
Let's go with five.
Five, all right. Good evening. Oh, nice pick there. Do you think anyone's actually out there? Maybe it's all... Bernie, are you okay? You sound out of breath, too.
I'm okay. I'm just pretty disoriented.
Are you seeing the flash? Because every time that happens, there's this brilliant... I don't know how this is happening, but there's a brilliant flash. But you're in Philadelphia. Do you see the flash?
I had it, too. It seemed to be coming from inside my head, though. It's very strange.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what I was feeling. Okay, you know, I think radio history is being made here tonight. Let's try this one over here. Hello, good evening. Speak up, please. Is anyone there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. You guys, you realize we were taken over by, like, some weird Christian country station?
People are passing me notes and all kinds of things. There's people outside. There's crowds of people on the street. I don't know what's happening exactly, so... I'm going to find out after the show.
You said,
it was crazy, man.
Tell us what you heard, because I only can remember the last couple of minutes.
This is WBAI, right?
This is WBAI? Yes, this is WBAI.
Okay, as I usually do, I was cooking dinner and listening to the show, and
right.
All of a sudden I heard, like, crazy, like, Her First Pony and the Preacher's Daughter and, like, all this crazy new country in the midst of 10,000
country hits. I'm remembering that too, but I don't know from where I'm remembering that.
It was on.
It's like we shared a dream.
I was on your location. Is this an April Fool's joke? What's going on?
No, I don't think. Is it?
If so,
the joke's on me, I guess.
Yes, man. Well, anyhow, I'm glad you guys are back.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know where we were, to be honest, but it's good to be here, but they're telling me I have to leave now.
Okay.
Answer a whole lot of questions outside.
Have a great night.
Thanks for calling. It's kind of like he's our constant, our listener. It's, like, important to have a constant out there. Voltaire, yes?
I was just saying, that might explain why there's all those people with cowboy hats outside.
You saw people with cowboy hats? Well, don't tell me that. I don't know if you're kidding or not, but that's not funny. There's nothing funny about cowboy hats. Here's the thing. What I'm wondering, there's a lot of images going through my head. And I just wonder, are these the shadows of the things that will be, or the shadows of the things that may be? That's the thing, you know, because what you have to realize is that we come here every week and we do our show, but, you know, the whole thing could just vanish like that, you know? Oh, no, 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 no! I did not want this to happen.
Tuesday, April 14, 2009, at 7 p.m. at the station, 120 Wall Street, between Front and South Streets, on the 10th floor. Community Advisory Board members and others who wish to attend must contact the receptionist during business hours at 212-209-2800 or email servebai@yahoo.com, servebai@yahoo.com, so that your name can be added to the list at the security desk. Please bring photo ID with you. Again, that's Tuesday, April 14th at 7 p.m. The Community Advisory Board is an advisory body required by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to review community needs and station programming. The Community Advisory Board is completely advisory in nature and makes no management, programming, financial, or personnel decisions for WBAI or the Pacifica Foundation.